This is TWiT.
Today is the Net Neutrality Day of Action, and joining us to talk about what's at stake is Elliot Harmon, activist at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Welcome back to the show, Elliot.
Hi, guys. It's great to see you again.
So first, for those who've been ignoring this topic for whatever reason for the past 3 or 4 years and who need a refresher, can you give us just a little short description of what exactly is net neutrality?
Sure. I think that to understand why net neutrality is important, you should really look at why the internet is important. What makes the internet really special is that your ability to reach a wide audience is not coupled necessarily with the resources that you have available. And that is only possible because ISPs treat all of the traffic that goes over their pipes the same. And there are these bright line rules that were established in 2015 that ISPs can't block discriminately. They can't throttle websites that they don't like direct you to websites that they prefer, and they can't do paid prioritization. They can't accept money from content providers to give those content providers preferential treatment. And now there are ISPs trying to get those rules rolled back, and to do so would be a major. It would be giving up a lot of what makes the internet special.
And so, I mean, I got into a little Twitter discussion today about this because someone was like, why is open internet political? And, you know, it shouldn't be. My argument is it shouldn't be, but neither should my uterus be political. And we all know that it is. So tell us a little bit about why it's become so political, net neutrality.
It's become political because there are extremely moneyed interests involved. These large ISPs that, you know, increasingly when you're talking about large ISPs and when you're talking about large content companies, you're increasingly talking about the same companies or about corporations that have close partnerships with each other. And they are able to put a lot of lobbying dollars into steering this discussion in their direction.
So speaking of ISPs, yesterday, one of the news items surrounding this in the lead up to today is that AT&T was coming out in support of the day of action. How do you explain, or how is AT&T explaining that? Or maybe you can explain how they can be supportive of it, yet at the same time, you know, the major ISPs have been doing so much in a number of ways to kind of go counter to the point of today.
It is such a smokescreen. It's weird. It's weird that they think that they can get away with this. Comcast has been doing something similar. I don't know about you guys, but almost every day when I log into Twitter, I get one of those Comcast ads saying, oh, no, Comcast supports net neutrality. And what their argument, as I understand it, really boils down to is actually similar to the argument that Chairman Pai has been making. That you can accomplish the same thing through ISPs simply making promises to adhere to these rules rather than actually having rules that have the force of the law behind them. And in the words of the former president, fool me once, shame on you.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what I've heard Ajit Pai speak. And, you know, that's what he says. He's like, none of this has happened. You're trying to control something that hasn't happened yet. But I mean, that is a lot of what we do all the time. It's a lot of what the EFF is trying to do. Yes, like we still have free speech and we want to continue to have free speech. And we, you know, we want to have all these things that we need to make rules in order to have. So tell us a little bit about the Net Neutrality Day of Action. What is it all about?
About a month ago, a little over a month ago, was when the FCC officially put out its notice of proposed rulemaking, NPRM, outlining how it's going to roll back the net neutrality rules. When an agency puts out a policy change like that, then the public has an opportunity to comment on it. And that's what the day of action has been about, is just getting everybody to speak out to the FCC and say, no, we cannot let go of these net neutrality protections. And both in the EFF website and a lot of other sites on the internet, many, many other sites on the internet, have been kind of doing this game all day of giving the world a preview of what the internet might look like without net neutrality protections. If you go to our website today, you'll see this frightening message that says that it has been blocked by a fictitious ISP. There are other websites out there that are having like the loading icon, so the site just keeps loading forever, or saying, oh no, you need to pay extra to access this website. And you know, people have been really creative about it, and people have been having a lot of fun with it. But the message is very serious. The message is that we are going down this path of the internet becoming a little bit less like the internet and a little bit more like cable television, where you have one very powerful intermediary with a great deal of control over how customers use the service and what kinds of content they access on it.
Yeah, it reminds me of that image that I feel like was passed around many times in jest over however many years, of envisioning a future where, like, you get a video package and, you know, all of your video services, you pay $5.99 for access to your video services, and you get your entertainment package or your news package, and that gives you access to your favorite news sites and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, suddenly we're at this place where, well, that's a little bit less of a joke and more of a prescient view of the future of the internet.
This was just to kind of underline that point, yeah. Quick, this was, you know, as recently as just last year, the FCC was investigating whether zero rating practices of AT&T and other large ISPs were running afoul of net neutrality rules, i.e. giving preferential treatment to the content that they have corporate partnerships with. Like, this is not science fiction. This is happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, you know, this is about raising awareness, and that awareness leads hopefully to people making their voice heard, leaving comments on this to ensure that the people who are making these decisions understand that there's a lot of resistance to these changes. Is there any assurance that a wide response at this point is actually going to make a lick of difference? It almost seems like the decision's already been made to a certain degree.
I think that there's certainly some validity to that argument, and I've talked to people who are more optimistic than others. You know, we should remember that a few years ago, a lot of people sort of thought that the decision had been made, not of having no rules at all, but having a much weaker version of what we ended up with, and we made a big difference then. Like, this is the first step. I would encourage everybody to submit a comment to the FCC using our site or using one of the other sites out there. The next step would be calling and emailing your members of Congress. The next step after that is going to depend a lot on what the FCC does.
Yeah.
So what do you say to people who argue that, you know, that there's so much at stake right now in other issues aside from the internet, you know, people who are going to be losing their health care? What do you say to people that just argue, like, what, you're worried about not getting Netflix fast enough?
This is where, to me, the rubber really hits the road and why this issue is important. If you look even just in the past few months, since that thing that happened in November, and you look at the way in which the internet has been used as a tool for political organizing, and that it's been used as a way of amplifying marginalized voices, that it's been used for people to resist, as it were, whatever other issue you think is more important than net neutrality, people need net neutrality in order to organize around that issue.
Thank you so much, Elliot. I mean, one of the things my defining principles for me is, like, just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you should do nothing. Mm-hmm. So exactly. Where can people go? What are the steps? Where can they go through the EFF to make their voice heard?
So you can go directly to the FCC website and make a comment through there. It's a little bit confusing if you've never submitted one of these before. It can be a little daunting. So we made a special site to make it extremely easy for you to submit a comment, and that's dearfcc.org. You go there. It's kind of fun. There's some kind of fill in the blanks. You can put in you know, why this issue matters to you. We have some suggested text, but then you can completely edit it and you could just delete all of our suggested text and write whatever you want if you like. What's important isn't necessarily what you say, or even if we necessarily agree on every little nuance of the issue. What's really important is just that the FCC hears from you.
Thank you so much. Elliot Harmon is an activist at the EFF. You can find him at EFF.org and also at Elliot Harmon on Twitter. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's great talking to you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a great night.